Chapter 27. Malevolent Infection.
"Why are we out here?" Dahlia whispered to Intrary.
Along with Ivanel and Puent, the two lay atop the ridge of a wooded hillock, looking down at the vast gathering of drow. Nearest them was the largest contingent, one bearing the banners of House Beenri, banners well known to Intrary, who had once found himself in the dungeons of that most powerful drow house.
"There's too much at stake," Intrary whispered back. "Maybe we can find a way to help."
"Against that?" Dahlia asked incredulously.
She held her hand out, sweeping it over the vast army of deadly drow.
"What would you have me do?"
"Waterdeep," she answered. "Let us go back and spread the word of the happenings here. Rouse the lords against this invasion. That might be Gontalgrim's only hope."
Intrary held up his hand to silence her, shaking his head and turning his attention to their two companions. Puent was very near to Ivanel, who seemed unconcerned about the presence of the vampire.
"Kill me, then," the dwarf pleaded. "But cure me of this curse, I beg. Yourself's the most powerful, so I've been told. Avatar, a Loth herself, surely."
"I have told you already, Thibbledorf Puent," Ivanel interrupted. "There is no known cure for your affliction. If there were, I'd find it for you, I promise. But no, there is none."
"Then kill me to death for real."
"You told me that you were able to sit in the throne of the dwarven gods," Ivanel replied. "Does that offer you no hope?"
"I was thinking that I'd found a way to control it," the dwarf admitted. "Might that I had.
Aye, but this curse, lady, this curse. It won't e'er leave me, and the hunger returns. I might hold it back 100 times, but 101 will have me putting me teeth into the neck of Copperhead."
"There is a great fight before your King Brunner," Ivanel reminded him. "You will sate your hunger on his enemies."
"For now,"
the despondent dwarf said.
"And when it is done, if you feel the same, I will end your affliction."
"What then for poor Puent?"
Puent asked.
"You won't be blamed," Artemis Intrary interjected. "I've seen. Losing to your curse isn't malevolence. You will find in the end that only those things in which you can truly blame yourself will wound you."
"What happened to you?"
Dahlia whispered into Intrary's ear, and her tone wasn't of concern, but more of distaste. Intrary looked at her and shrugged helplessly.
"Stay about and find your place, Thibbledorf Puent," Ivanel told him. "Be gone from us now. If you cannot find your way, if you think I am wrong in presenting the duty before you, then attack King Brunner's enemies. There are many 100 drow before us capable of bringing your end. But I say again, this is not the time for that. We have a war to fight, I fear."
After Puent took his leave, becoming a large bat and flying off, Ivanel led the other two down the slope, moving ever closer to the banners of House Beenri. Dahlia grew more uneasy with every step and kept tugging on Intrary's sleeve, motioning to him with her head whenever he looked at her that they should be long away from this area. Finally, drawing very near to the drow camp, Intrary slowed.
"Do you mean to present us before the matron mother?" he whispered to Ivanel.
"I want you to bear witness," she explained. "I know not what I will find there, or that my aunt will allow me to leave. In that case, you must inform King Brunner."
She paused, then pulled off a ring and handed it to the assassin.
"And return this to Catti Bree, I beg. If they won't let you leave, what makes you believe that we will get out?"
Dahlia snapped at her. Ivanel smiled at the intended slight, for that, of course, is what it was, a clear intimation that Dahlia expected that Ivanel would betray her and Artemis to save herself. Ivanel stood up tall and looked around.
"I believe we are close enough now," she explained,
not answering Dahlia, then produced a pair of small circular stone discs. She held one up to her lips and whispered into it, and the sound came out of the second one.
"These are akin to sending stones, or more appropriately, clairaudient stones," she explained. "Much more limited by distance,
but more complete while the magic I have placed in them holds. It will not be long, but you should hear enough of the conversation to understand what King Brunner needs to know.
While we sit here and wait for them to catch us, came Dahlia's next sarcastic question.
Evenel shook her head helplessly and took out a length of rope. She whispered the mystical sequence to enact a spell and tossed the end of the rope upward, where it stuck in midair as if attached to some invisible grapnel. Evenel stepped back and motioned for them to ascend. Entreri was familiar with the spell, and so leaped upon the rope and scrambled up. When he reached the top, he pulled himself into Evenel's extra-dimensional creation. How strange he looked from below, as if he were passing into nothingness, vanishing inch by inch as his form slipped from the material plane into the extra dimension. Dahlia had lived most of her life among the Red Wizards of Thay. She was not surprised or much comforted, but she, too, went up and entered the pocket dimension, pulling the rope up behind her to further conceal the place. Evenel didn't even wait for her to get up there before she ran off. She had limited time for her sending stone to armor to hold. More than that, the drow woman was truly terrified now. She knew that the moment before her was critical, and to more than her own safety. Everything rested on this. Mostly, though, she just wanted to get it over with, because she knew that she would lose her nerve altogether if she did not. It would be so much easier and personally beneficial for her to just go along with whatever Quenthel was doing.
"We can still get away," Dahlia told Entreri, the two sitting in the bland extra-dimensional chamber. "Evenel won't stop us. She probably won't even blame us. And the vampire dwarf will care not unless he intends to bite us."
"We've already had this discussion," Entreri sourly replied.
"No, we haven't had a discussion. You've just kept pressing on as if it's not madness for us to be here. Look at them," Dahlia said.
She noted that Entreri was tightly grasping the stone disc Evenel had given him, as if trying to muffle their conversation.
"You don't trust her either," Dahlia said, nodding to his hand. "She told you it was clairaudience, but you fear that she lied and is spying on us."
"Trust doesn't come easy to me," the assassin replied.
"Exactly my point. Look at them. A vast army, any three of which would likely be enough to defeat us. We sit here within a league of not one, but two monstrous forces, both of which could and likely would destroy us if they found us. This is madness, all of it, and it is our madness to participate in it. You cannot believe that we will truly make a difference here."
"You're probably correct in that."
"Then let us be gone."
"No."
"Why?"
"Because I cannot. I'm not leaving them."
"Them? Your friends?"
Her tone with that last word was hardly complimentary. Entreri stared at her in disappointment.
"What about me?" Dahlia insisted. "I stood beside you. I went to the end of the world to save you. Right into House Margaster, I faced down demons and those stinging wasps, all for you. Doesn't that matter?"
"So did Regis,"
Entreri replied, stealing her bluster. He added,
"Don't doubt my gratitude."
"Maybe it's not that that I'm doubting."
"My love?"
"Do you even know what the word means?" "I wish to be out of this hopeless predicament. If you loved me..."
"Loyalty, then?"
"Yes."
"What about my loyalty to them? To Regis for helping you every step, to Caddy Bree?"
"To Drizzt, you mean?"
"Him too, even if he is dead."
Dahlia fell suddenly silent, and Entreri couldn't read the look on her face, but it frightened him. They heard calls then through the clairaudience stone. Evenel had arrived at the drow perimeter, demanding to be brought before Matron Mother Quenthel's court. Entreri moved his hand and took a deep breath. Dahlia turned away from him and looked out the small window to the material plane afforded by such spells as this rope trick. She started almost immediately, seeing movement in the trees. She reached back and touched Entreri's leg, and he moved up fast, noticing the movement as well. Then noting two forms, two men, drow and human, walking through the trees. He knew them both quite well. He moved for the window. Dahlia grabbed him by the arm. Do not, she said.
That's Wulfgar.
And Camoriel, Dahlia said. A drow, a most dangerous drow in the face of a drow army.
That did give Intrary pause, but just for a moment. Then he shook his head and pulled away from her, tossing the rope out from the window and sliding down to the ground, literally appearing in midair before Camoriel and Wulfgar.
Intrary went back up that rope soon after, Wulfgar climbing up behind him, while Camoriel, informed by Intrary of Ivanel's actions, continued on to meet with the matron mother. Intrary and Wulfgar did not find a happy Dahlia waiting for them.
Great. Now Camoriel knows where we are, she said. Perhaps it is time for us to be gone.
Intrary gave her a skeptical look.
Listen, she said, holding forth the clairaudience disc. Ivanel has only just arrived, and now they are discussing an alliance with Matron Jindia.
Intrary's jaw dropped open, as he had no response to that. Nor did Wulfgar.
We must be out of here, and quickly, Dahlia said. Far, far away.
It seems our only course, Matron Mother Quenthel told Ivanel, when the latter unexpectedly joined the ranks of the Bayenri priestesses, who were joined by the priestesses of House Dowerden and House Fay Branch in a shallow cave protecting them from the infernal ball in the sky.
Do you think that even with her driders, Matron Jindia can defeat the combined power of Menzo Berenzon? Ivanel asked. Or even defeat House Bayenri alone?
Do you believe we will have the combined power of Menzo Berenzon?
Sosumtu countered, and her looks toward Ivanel told the younger drow that Sosumtu wasn't much enamored of her at this time, and that she was most certainly advising Quenthel strongly on this. Or that House Bayenri would survive such a conflict, strong enough to fend Matron Mesbaris in the aftermath?
Ivanel had no answer. Perhaps they were right. Perhaps Matron Jindia was in Lolf's highest favor, and the only chance for House Bayenri to survive this dangerous time was to admit such and join in the glory of Jindia's conquest. So much of Ivanel's reasoning argued against this, however, both because of the confusion given the previous actions regarding the destruction of Demogorgon, and the Spider Queen's own treatment of Drizzt face to face.
It didn't make sense.
Not much was making sense to her at that critical moment. She felt lost, as if something wasn't right.
More than even that logic and those feelings, though, Ivanel's heart screamed against the move. She had come to know Drizzt and his friends. They did not deserve this. But the drow in her sneered at this moral conscience, decrying her weaknesses, and she honestly considered giving in and betraying these new friends she had known. Because what other path lay before her? What was she missing?
We did Lolf's bidding in filling Menzo Berenzon with demons, she reminded her aunt after some pause. We did Lolf's great service in destroying the physical form of great Demogorgon. House Bayenri led that, and against Matron Jindia and House Malarin's desires and actions.
She looked to Matron Xerath Sorlaren Dowerden for support here, as their actions against the Malarni had been when Jindia had dared to attack the fledgling House Dowerden.
Why would Lolf abandon us now, after all that has so recently transpired?
Perhaps because we failed her test, Sosumtu answered. She showed us Zacnaphane, stolen from her grasp, and showed us that Drizzt would not succumb to her will. The test was to gather them and destroy them, obviously, as Matron Jindia saw, and as we foolishly ignored.
You do not know that, said Ivanel.
And you do not know it's not true, Sosumtu snapped.
What I do know is that Matron Jindia, and not Matron Mother Bayenri, was gifted with two retrievers to do the task, and now with a Drider army to finish it all, and likely to finish us.
Again, it was hard to argue that point. Again, to Ivanel, it made no sense.
Or maybe she feared. Her heart made her want to believe that it made no sense. And so that was all she could see.
A commotion outside the cave interrupted the conversation, and then all eyes widened indeed as a dark elf, well known mostly because of his unusual talents and associations, was hauled into the cave by several Bayenri guards.
Well met, Camoriel greeted them, when the guards dropped him from their grasp. He twisted himself to straighten his robes and added, again, as he noted Ivanel. "What are you doing here?" Sosumtor demanded at the same time Quenthal asked. "Where is Jarlaxle?"
"Inside Gontalgrim, I expect," Kimboriel answered the matron mother. "I have not seen him in some time."
"Then yes," Quenthal asked. "Why are you here?"
"I have information I thought you might find valuable," Kimboriel answered, "both about this current situation you face and about something far more important. You are right to fear Matron Jindia and even those about you. Matron Mesbaris's first priestess, Teyrul, only now returns from her meeting with Matron Jindia, pledging alliance and, it would seem, even fealty to the matron of House Malarn." That brought sneers and muttered curses, but none seemed surprised, of course. Ever could House Bayenry count on the treachery of Matron Mesbaris Armgo.
"Our options seem thin," said Quenthal.
"Less than thin," Sosumtu answered. "Non-existent. Joined with the Second House, and no doubt many others, armed with demons and an army of gifted driders returned to life to serve her, Matron Jindia's ascension is assured. We must accept the will of Lolth."
"You ask us to surrender the position House Bayenry has held for millennia, to give up all that our matron mother, Ivanel the Eternal, spent centuries building? Give it up or have it taken from us, with no chance of future recourse," Sosumtu calmly replied.
Matron Zira sucked in her breath audibly, her old lips flapping in a great harumph. Her own fate was at stake here, surely, as Jindia Malarn positively hated her and had long accused her of heresy because of her elevation of men in her family.
"You ask us to do what is wrong," Ivanel dared to say, for arguing against the edicts of Lolth on moral grounds was always a dare, and usually a fatal one. "When did that stop mattering to us, I wonder?"
Sosumtu and many of the others stared at her with abject shock.
"Our duty is to Lolth," Sosumtu said when she found her voice. "That is all that is right."
"Is it?"
asked Kamuriel Oblodra. Sosumtu shot him a threatening glare.
"You will speak when you are asked to speak or not at all."
"I ask you to speak," Ivanel said, locking with Sosumtu's glare and not letting go. "Your simple question is shocking to many here. Tell us. Tell them what you mean."
Ivanel knew that she was taking a great risk here in even allowing this man to speak. But what did they have to lose that wasn't already being taken from them?
"I invite you, Ivanel, and the matron mother, to allow me into your minds. For there I can relate much more to you both than with mere words," Kimboriel said. "I will impart to you everything I know."
"But not the rest of us," Matron Zira sharply said. When all turned to her, the old matron, sitting on her summoned magical disc, added, "You would tell Ivanel, who is not a matron, who does not sit on the ruling council, who is what?"
"She is infused with the memories of Matron Mother Ivanel the Eternal," Kimboriel reminded. "Priestess Ivanel will perhaps understand the implications of that which I have learned, as will Matron Mother Quenthal. They will be better informed and equipped to relate those implications, those truths, to the rest of you than I."
"Presumptuous," Zira said.
"I do not pretend to understand anything at all about you and your damned family, Oblodron," Matron Beerton added. "Nor do I trust you."
"Not at all," Zirith agreed. "Take care, Matron Mother. This one has not forgotten that it was House Bayenry's matron and matriarch, your mother, Ivanel's grandmother, who dropped the heretical Oblodrons into the Claw Rift."
"Because we were heretics," Kimboriel echoed with a sigh. He looked to the two Bayenrys he had been addressing. "Perhaps in that, too, you will find some insight from that which I wish to show you."
"Speak it," demanded Sosumtu.
Perhaps it was that particular speaker and the insistence of her demand, both Kimboriel and Ivanel thought, that spurred Matron Mother Quenthal to hold up her hand and bid Sosumtu to silence. "We may not trust him, but will any here deny that it was Kimboriel more than anyone else who brought to us the power of the hive mind in our battle with Demogorgon?" Quenthal reminded.
"Have we so soon forgotten?"
"Perhaps now the hive mind can offer insight to you," Kimboriel said, and Quenthal nodded.
We garner our insight from our prayers to Lolth, so Sumter reminded. Is this illithid hive mind your god, O Blodron?
Kimoriel paused and considered that. It is not all-knowing, but more knowing than most. For what we hide with spoken words, we cannot hide within ourselves.
A god?
No. But it and its illithid limbs comprise a library of truth, where no lie can exist without it being known as a lie. As all the others stood trying to decipher the unexpected answer, Quenthel nodded, led Kimoriel and Evenel a bit to the side, and motioned for him to begin. The psionicist closed his eyes and linked first with Quenthel, then with Evenel, and there, telepathically, he told them his truths. Both, Quenthel particularly, resisted and even recoiled, nearly breaking the connection when Kimoriel informed them that, to the illithids, Lolth was not a goddess at all. She was a manifestation of malevolence, an infection. Lolth was a bitter bit of a reasoning being promoting pride and envy, greed and power, but nothing more. She was a whispered internal lie, coaxing the speaker and listener, one and the same, into a deepening gloom. He convinced them that this was just what the illithid believed, and that he did not share that belief, and Quenthel stopped struggling against him. He told them everything that had transpired with Uwunavisk at the Hive Mind, and emphatically bade the two women to remember the fall of House Oblodra in order to gain perspective. They had that memory. Quenthel, both as perpetrator and witness, for they had all of Evenel the Eternal's memories, and it was she, after all, who channeled the power of Lolth to take down the house. Then he began to impart the rest, the obvious conclusions to coincide with his explanation of the illithid's beliefs, and more particularly, of what he had learned regarding Jindia's sudden ascension. But Quenthel stopped him once more, her thoughts screaming back at him. Kimoriel blinked open his eyes to find the matron mother staring at him.
"You cannot make such claims," she said aloud.
"I only relate what I learned at the Hive Mind. I thought it best to tell you."
"The matron mother might not agree," Evenel remarked. "Sometimes there is innocence in ignorance." "Surely you do not believe him," Quenthel shouted at her.
"There are times, like now, where I no longer know what to believe," Evenel answered.
"Are we to be left in our ignorance?" Xerath demanded from across the way. "Yes, matron mother, I too demand that you have this man speak openly to us all," said Sosumtu.
Evenel looked to her, then to Kimoriel, and nodded.
"You will not like it," the matron mother said. "I'm certain of that," Sosumtu said, and the others nodded their agreement.
"Very well. Start with the claim of this illithid," Quenthel instructed, as the others joined them.
"Uwunavisk," said Kimoriel. "He has been uncovered by the Hive Mind as an agent of Lolth, carrying the infection to the illithids."
"Infection?" Sosumtu demanded.
"That is how they see it, not I," Kimoriel replied, and lied, for that was exactly how he had come to understand this Spider Queen creature.
Lolth was within every reasoning being, that dark and selfish side of the mind, a disease, an infection, most often suppressed to a great degree. But not when Lolth got these beings under her thrall. Then the malignancy did grow, and the dark thoughts emerged. Even as he considered that, Kimoriel better understood why Lolth had tried for the Hive Mind multiple times, and was probably still trying to infect the illithids now. How great might her powers become if the illithids, with their ability to tap into the thoughts of sentient beings, began to spread the infection?
"This is not the first time Lolth has tried to ensnare the illithids. As I showed you both with the memories of your mother and your namesake," Kimoriel went on. "Then, too, in that long-ago era, lies the secret of House Oblodra, one that I did not even know until now." He looked to Matron Xerath. "Think back to the time of troubles, 130 years ago. Your house was then ranked 5th in the city. But you knew that you were more powerful than Feyn Tlabar, immediately above you, and more deserving than House Oblodra, then ranked behind only Houses Bayenri and Barriss and Delarmgo."
"I accepted the decisions of the ruling council," Xerath protested.
"Of course, but truthfully, you almost certainly more readily accepted House Fan Flabar ahead of you than House Oblodra, Gimoriel dared to presume. We were hardly devout, and yet Matron Kiorl sat in a higher seat than you. You thought that because of the fear our strange mind magic brought to the others. Matron Xerath didn't disagree. It was more than that, said Kimuriel. Matron Kiorl did indeed hold the favor of Loth in those times, for she was acting as Loth's agent in trying to infect the hive mind. But she was doing more than that. She could not be satisfied with that which Loth had promised her. In the weakening of the priestesses and the wizards in the time of troubles, as you recall, Matron Kiorl began to place herself above the order of Menzo Barons on itself, above even the Matron Mother. And in her arrogance, Kiorl tried to enlist the hive mind in a plan of conquest. She wanted to conquer Menzo Barenzon, Xerath asked. She wanted to conquer Loth, Gimoriel replied. He had their attention then fully. I believe it to be true, Evenel said. When I consider the memories I was given, I feel that this conclusion is true. Quenthal agreed. Loth was not conquered, of course, Gimoriel went on. Nor was she deterred. She has tried again and has failed. His use of the name of the Spider Queen and the word fail in the same sentence brought a wild-eyed scowl to the face of Sosumtu. Gimoriel knew he was on dangerous ground here, but he had gone too far now to reverse course. 2. When was a male drow not on dangerous ground surrounded by the females of their race?
This time, she used an illithid as her agent, one she had infected. He said.
You keep using that term, infected, said Xerath. Perhaps you should choose better words regarding the blessings of Our Lady Loth.
I am using the terminology of the Illithids, he replied. I am telling you their beliefs, to do with as you will.
And the fact that we haven't killed you already for your blasphemy probably explains a bit why Loth has chosen to favor Matron Jindia, said Xerath.
Better that he become a drider. So Sosumtu threatened. If Loth does favor Matron Jindia, Evenel interjected, backing them both a bit.
How can we doubt that? Sosumtu replied. Two retrievers.
Kimoriel claims that it was not Loth who gave the magnificent constructs to Matron Jindia, said Quenthal. It was her handmaiden, Yikardaria, Kimoriel said.
With the blessing of Loth, of course, said Sosumtu.
I do not believe that Loth even knows, Gimoriel said. Or rather, I doubt more that Loth would even care. Yikardaria holds an old grudge against a drow warrior who once banished her for a century, even after she had revealed her true form to him. She was with House Hunsrin back when they were challenging Bregan D'Earth for extra Menzo Barenzon trade privileges. She posed as Priestess Ikara, creating mischief along with Priestess Bolfay.
Handmaiden Bolfena, Quenthal clarified for the others.
With the prompting of Kimoriel, I remember the incident or the report of it, Evenel said, and Quenthal nodded. Evenel the Eternal summoned Bolfena to confirm the reports brought to her by Jarlaxle. Yikardaria was banished by the blades of Zaknafane Doerden. The news brought gasps, but also a warning from Sosumtu.
You remember it with his prompting. Or is it something he just imparted in your thoughts?
It is true, Quenthal insisted. Yikardaria was banished for a century by Zaknafane.
And now she gave to Matron Jindia the means to pay Zaknafane back.
A handmaiden is not nearly powerful enough to create or control a retriever, Xerath said doubtfully. Yikardaria was given them by Malkanthet, queen of the succubi, consort of Demogorgon. Gimoriel stated.
This is madness and foolishness, Sosumtu declared. Why would Loth allow this? She made great gains with the destruction of Demogorgon, but she...
Because Loth does not care about the details, Gimoriel interrupted, drawing another wide-eyed scowl of utter hatred from Sosumtu. Gimoriel knew then that he was certainly about to die, if he was lucky, but he pressed on. The Illithid use the terms they use, and they are not without merit. Loth holds the motivations of an infection, a disease, not a goddess. She does not guide. Rather, she afflicts. She yearns to find that within each of us that is chaos and unleash it.
and she will take whatever path she sees most clearly to inflict her glorious catastrophes.
Execute the fool, so Sumter demanded of Matron Mother Quenthel. We must turn him into a drider at once, to let him suffer forevermore in the pain of abomination. Maybe then we will stave off the disfavor of the Spider Queen.
I cannot deny that Lolth would enjoy that, Kimuriel quietly admitted, but the others were focused on Quenthel, who was shaking her head with doubt.
Then this will be the fall of House Beenri, Quenthel answered so Sumptu, whatever course we choose.
If Lolth decrees it, so Sumptu insisted, I cannot say that it is not deserved.
The room exploded in shouts, all the women looking to one another for guidance.
Lolth isn't decreeing anything, Kimuriel interjected, above so Sumptu's yelling at him to be silent.
That's the whole point of her, Kimuriel added, when Quenthel had silenced her devout and outraged sister. She doesn't care. She never cared at all. This isn't about the Beenris and never was. It isn't about any of us. It's about the infection that is Lolth, the disease of wickedness, of chaos and strife.
You will die horribly, or beg for it for eons, so Sumptu promised.
Kimuriel shrugged.
Think far back, he told Evenel and Quenthel. Much further back, all the way back to the beginning. You carry those memories. Think of how it all started, the founding of the city. Consider the little lies, accepted in return for something, some small gain, some little blessing even. That is how the darkness is deepened, bit by bit, accepted lies followed by coerced actions, wrong and unjust, but not so bad at first. The darkness deepened in your heart.
Why are you suffering this fool to speak? Matron Jindia has the blessing of Lolth,
so Sumptu interrupted. All see it now to our doom.
Lolth doesn't care, Kimuriel dared reply, the chorus to the song of his own demise.
Oh, what power she has gained now because of the actions of Menzo Berenzon, or those of Evonel and Matron Mother Quenthel against her rival Demogorgon.
Now she tries for the hive mind of the Illithids, or tried, but she has failed, again discovered and defeated. Because they know the truth of her, the truth I have offered to you. She is more disease than being, more affliction than goddess. And yet for all that, she doesn't care. She doesn't care about Zacnephane Doerden. It was not she who brought him back.
It was me, Evenel admitted to loud gasps. The young, purple-eyed woman shrugged helplessly. I do not even know how I did it.
Just that it was without Lolth, Kimuriel reasoned. How could you manage among the greatest of spells, resurrection itself, against the wishes of your supposed goddess?
Suppose it, so Sumptu warned.
We are past that, Kimuriel said to her, the dismissal causing the High Priestess to growl. Evenel was able to perform the spell because Lolth doesn't care. Not for Zacnephane, and surely not for Driz Doerden. He might be the biggest joke she has played on her children in centuries. We think him the ultimate heretic, yet Lolth confronted him in a tunnel and tried again to convert him. She could have destroyed him, but she did not. She did not.
Kimuriel paused and offered a chuckle.
Do you think this is funny, O Blodron?
Of course. You just said it. It really doesn't matter who wins here in Lolth's grand scheme, because no matter the outcome, against the Northland of Faerun, or within the coming storm to decide the hierarchy of Menzo Berenzon, the Lady of Chaos will move on to her next game. This is what I learned at the hive mind of the Illithids, and this is what I relate to you at great risk. The judgment is yours, not mine.
The judgment upon you will likely be decided by Lady Lolth, Quenthel said then, silencing Kimuriel. If he had lost her, his life was over, but he didn't need to press his luck. For now, perhaps, our most prudent and easiest course will be to side with Matron Jindia, finish this business on the surface, then fight whatever battle we find back in Menzo Berenzon.
Thank you, Matron Mother, so Sumptu said with a bow. I should not have doubted your judgment.
That is the easiest course, Evenel agreed, and Kimuriel swallowed hard, expecting the blow. But is it the right course? Or have we so fully lost our sense of guidance and conscience that such a thing as that, as simple a matter of right and wrong, matters not at all?
deep as the darkness, Kimuriel whispered, and it, like so much he'd said here, was not well received by Sosumtu and several of the others.
Darkened through centuries, Quenthal reasoned.
This is madness, blasphemy, Sosumtu shouted, having none of it. No one will follow us, will follow you, if you persist in this fantasy, foisted upon us by a desperate and vengeful heretic and fool.
We will think on it, all of us, Ivanel said.
We will pray on it, Quenthal corrected her.
We should be quick in our contemplations, Matron Xerath warned. Matron Jindia is coming.
Something is wrong with all of this, Ivanel said. I cannot ignore that if Lolth wanted Zaknafane dead, or Driz dead, it could have been accomplished much more easily. How could that be a test that we failed? We destroyed her rival. Drizzt was the spear of that destruction. And she herself met him in that tunnel far from here and did not destroy him, even when he denied her. You all, even you, Mistress Sosumtu, believed that it was likely Lady Lolth who returned Zaknafane to Drizzt.
And you knew better and hadn't the courage to tell us, Sosumtu replied.
It is true, Ivanel admitted. But still, why would she turn on us?
Perhaps because of your act, fool, Sosumtu said.
I could not have done such a thing as resurrection, true resurrection, without her. If all that we believe about her, about all the gods, is the truth, Ivanel argued. She wasn't convincing Sosumtu, obviously, but just as obviously, her target audience here was Quenthal.
Then why? Quenthal asked, considering her theory.
Perhaps Lady Lolth is as tired of the Bayenries as so many of the other matrons, Xerath stated openly, a remark that would have started wars in years past.
I will have none of this, Sosumtu decided then. This is heresy. I am no apostate.
Will you fight me, sister? She asked Quenthal.
Quenthal shook her head.
I ask only that you give us some time to sort through this.
Until Matron Jindia arrives, no longer.
Quenthal nodded. I must pray.
You must remember, Gamoriel said. And now all scowled at him, except, he noted, for Ivanel.
To the beginning, Ivanel said. The darkness is deepened very gradually, Gamoriel offered. Perhaps by looking back to the, shall we say, lighter and more innocent times? Will you see the starkness of where we are now compared to where we once were?
Before we lost our sense of conscience that such a simple thing as a matter of right and wrong mattered?
Sosumtu asked Ivanel, her voice dripping with sarcasm and threat. I beg you to remember in sequence, Kimuriel remarked. Consider the time frame. Action by action. We know the sequence of the memories that were given to us by the Illithid, Methalel Videnvelp. A clearly frustrated and angry Matron Mother Quenthal assured him.
The sequential effect, then, Kimuriel clarified. Remember how Ivanel the Eternal felt with her first kill. Remember how she felt with her 100th.
As the infection grew? Ivanel asked.
Kimuriel couldn't tell if she was asking honestly, or if she too was stepping back from the cliff to which he had led them. He was surprised to find a strange sense of calmness spreading within him. His vengeance against House Bayenry was no more. He felt as if he had properly repaid not them, but the infection that was Lolth, simply by revealing the truth of the malevolent fiend. Truth is the best antidote, especially for those who had lived in the dark for so long. His fate was in their hands. He knew it would not be easy to flee this place, and that he could not escape the power arrayed before him unless, perhaps, the hive mind offered him sanctuary. Yes, that would be his only hope, for this was far beyond Jarlaxle. Strangely, however, Kimuriel didn't want to flee, whatever his fate. He felt free, felt as if he had at long last escaped already.
Everything will be decided in the next moments,
and Treri whispered to his two companions inside the extra-dimensional chamber.
And if it goes against us, Dahlia warned, if Ivanel sides with those who wish to support the Malarn force, then your trust in her has doomed us.
We have no escape, nowhere to run or hide.
She will not betray us, whatever her choice, said Entreri.
Dahlia argued, she will, because she knows that her, that their goddess will know. I never before thought you a fool.
Have faith in her, Wulfgar suggested, drawing a sharp glare from Dahlia.
On my life, she shot back. Why would I do such a thing?
Wulfgar looked to Entreri, but that man too had no answer.
We should be gone, Dahlia insisted. Now!
She started for the window to the material world.
No,
Entreri answered, stopping her short.
We're going to die, and horribly.
It's a chance I'm willing to take.
And if I'm not?
He said nothing.
Why?
Dahlia asked. She looked at Wulfgar with disgust, then back to Entreri.
For them? For your friends?
Entreri chewed his lip but was nodding his head.
I knew in the end you would choose them,
Dahlia said.
Choose? Why am I to choose at all?
Better that Drizzt had died on the hill that day we parted,
Dahlia said, her voice a clarion of pure frustration. Entreri noted Wulfgar's scowl.
You said that was unintentional, he said to Dahlia, an accident.
It was, but so what, she answered. Had Drizzt died, I would have shrugged. He deserved it.
Entreri held silence, staring at this woman.
I came for you when you were in need, Dahlia said. I went into House Margaster for you.
He nodded.
Now you would choose them?
Now I ask that we both choose our allies,
Entreri replied.
Your friends?
Friends to Dahlia, too.
I'm not going to die for them, she answered, and moved to the window. Are you coming with me?
Entreri stared at her for a long moment, then shook his head. He started to explain, but held his tongue, for Dahlia didn't wait, dropping the rope and moving through the window. Wulfgar sighed deeply, then turned to Entreri and offered a nod of approval. Entreri offered nothing in return.
Sequential effect,
Ivanel said quietly to Quenthal after the two had gone off to contemplate and, mostly, search their memories, the oldest memories given to them by the experiences of Matron Mother, Ivanel the Eternal. Quenthal could hardly believe the revelations. Instead of experiencing the events, and more importantly, the darkening feelings that had led them to this point, she had gone back to those earliest memories and the emotions accompanying them, hope, joy, freedom, and played them against the deepest darkness, the more recent experiences. The contrast was too stark to be ignored. Looking at the emotions, the actions, the mindset of Matron Mother Ivanel the Eternal in the latter years of her life had revealed to both Quenthal and Ivanel a distinctly different way of looking at the world around her.
How did this happen? Quenthal asked. How did we get here?
One lie, one bad act at a time, Ivanel answered, reflecting Kimuriel's earlier remarks to them.
We must tell our people, said Quenthal, and they will not believe us.
We must, Quenthal started to argue, but she couldn't help but agree with the logic here.
Sequential effect, he called it, said Ivanel. And now I understand. My mother, and I could have called her that in the early days, I know now. From those early days did not resemble the Matron Mother Bayenry that I knew.
Even through her memories,
through the emotions within those memories, you can feel it. So subtle, a hair's breadth at a time, this deepening darkness of Lolth. The people we need to convince are already fully within that darkness, Ivanel reminded. They are comfortable in the shade. What do we do? I do not know, but I do know that I will not fight against the dwarves of Gontalgrim, nor will I capture Zaknafane for the pleasure of Lolth.
The Matron Mother of Menzo Baranzon stared at her for a short while, then replied,
Nor will I, nor will House Bayenry.
When the two left the back chamber of the cave, they found the others waiting for them, with Sosumtu and Kimuriel nearest.
"Enlightening," Ivanel said, mostly to Kimuriel.
"I have prayed as well," Sosumtu said.
"But I have no hope that you have come to the same conclusions," Ivanel said. That brought a profound scowl to the face of devout Sosumtu.
"Then you have been deceived by a trickster," she said.
"No," Ivanel said. But at the same time, Quenthal offered to Sosumtu, "Perhaps. Either way, we will soon enough learn the truth. And I understand that you cannot remove that which is in your heart now to examine the past, as we have been blessed to do. All I ask of you is that you bear witness as we all learn who is right and who is wrong."
"You expect passivity in the face of sacrilege," Sosumtu retorted. "I am a mistress of Arik Tinalith, a high priestess of Lolth, the first priestess of House Beenri, the mistress of the Fane of the Quarvelsheres.
And I am the matron mother," Quenthal said, "of House Beenri and of Menzo Berenzon, who leads the ruling council and serves as voice of Lolth in the City of Spiders."
"Then act like it," Sosumtu replied, squaring her shoulders.
"Do you even know what that means?"
"I know that Matron Jindia Malarn has been offered great gifts to carry out her war," Sosumtu said. "You ask me to take the lies of a mind magic trickster above that which I can see clearly?"
"Call a handmaiden then, that we might all speak with her," said Quenthal.
"Call Bolifena," Kimuriel offered. "Shut up," Sosumtu growled at him. "Count your luck that Matron Mother Quenthal is here, and that you have found a way to temporarily confuse her, O Blodron, else your legs would be splitting four ways each at this very moment."
Kimuriel fell silent. To the two women, Sosumtu railed,
"I do not need guidance. Lady Lolth has given Matron Jindia the Driders."
"Sosumtu will pledge fealty to House Malarn then," Ivanel said.
"Of course not."
"As with the Driders, how do we know it was Lolth?" Quenthal asked. "Are there not other demon lords who are quite angered at Menzo Berenzon right now, particularly angered at House Beenri?"
"Demon lords known to be adept with retrievers," said Ivanel. "Retrievers who bear the image of Lolth," Sosumtu reminded.
"So much better the ruse, then."
"Matron Mother, this is easily tested," Ivanel said.
"What if we undo that which we believe was not done by Lolth?"
"Fight the Driders?" a concerned Sosumtu asked.
"No, better than that." Ivanel's smile gave it away, and Sosumtu didn't need to be a psionicist to figure out what Ivanel was hinting at, an action that represented the highest attempt at sacrilege to date.
"You cannot," she said with a long snarl.
"No, they cannot," Kimuriel agreed. "What you are thinking could not be done by one not in the favor of Lolth, unless one was more powerful than Lolth."
That brought gasps from all three, and Sosumtu would hear no more of it. She drew forth her scourge, lifting it, the living serpents rising to strike at the psionicist. As one they struck, but not at Kimuriel. Dominated by the psionicist, the living snakes bit at Sosumtu, tearing the flesh of her face and neck, filling her with their deadly venom. Shrieking, horrified, the priestess threw down her weapon, though it took her several slaps to finally extract the last of the serpents from their fanged grip. She stumbled back then, shocked, trying to cast a spell. Both Quenthal and Ivanel did it for her, sending magic to seal her wounds, to neutralize the poison. Sosumtu continued to stumble.
"I did that," Quenthal announced, shocking everyone, and Kimuriel most profoundly.
Sosumtu gave a sound that none had heard before, a strange, squealing, disbelieving protest, then ran off. In her wake, the other priestesses and matrons moved closer to confer with the matron mother. Ivanel glared at Kimuriel, and the matron mother seemed ready to strike him down, despite her lie that she, not he, had turned the serpents.
"More proof that what I have shown you is correct," Kimuriel explained before the others arrived. Quenthal's expression didn't soften.
trickster? She asked. If so, you will come to wish that I had let First Priestess Sosumtu turn you into a drider, I promise. Did I not just do what you intend to try, on a much smaller scale? Kimuriel asked her. He nodded to the scourge writhing on the ground. A creation of Lolth, shown not to be as we believed? How was it even possible? The two, and those joining them now, had no answer. Because I know the truth, Kimuriel explained. And when the goddess is not a goddess at all, that truth is freedom. And that truth is power. She is an infection. The Bayenries exchanged looks. Can we? Quenthal quietly asked Evenel. I think so. Quenthal lowered her gaze, sighing repeatedly, shrugging helplessly. They had to try, but surely it seemed an impossible task. Gather House Bayenry, she instructed Minolan Fay Bayenry. It is war, then. Drow against drow, reasoned Matron Zirith. Perhaps. Perhaps not, Evenel offered. But if it is, where are you? Zirith spent a moment thinking, then agreed. Gather House Sor... Doerden, she told Priestess Sarabel. End House Fey Branch, Matron Beerton Fey agreed. This will be the end of everything we ever believed, Quenthal warned her niece. But is it everything Evenel the Eternal ever believed? Evenel answered. Or is it simply the end of what she came to accept? Quenthal, who had the same memories and now, with Kimuriel's prodding, could access them clearly, finally, resignedly, nodded. When all the drow of the three houses were gathered in a large clearing before the cave, Matron Mother Quenthal told the priestesses and wizards to follow the lead of her and Evonel. After some discussion, the two powerful women decided on a pair of sturdy oaks, pillars about the entrance to a main trail heading to the west, where Matron Jindia's forces gathered. The two fell into a spellcasting trance, accessing the memories of Evonel. This Dwyamer had been done before, long before they both remembered. But done singularly, with special dispensation, and certainly never on such a scale as they intended, never anything nearly on the scale they needed. They began to weave a web, translucent filaments flying out from their waggling fingers, stretching tree to tree. The other priestesses tried to help, as did the wizards, but there was no known ritual for such a creation as this, and ultimately it failed, the webbing falling apart. Stubbornly, Quenthal and Evenel pressed on. The magic is not strong enough, a defeated Quenthal said at last, her shoulders slumping. We have not chosen wrong, Evenel insisted. That thought will comfort me as I am murdered, or worse, Quenthal replied. All around them, the dark elves whispered and milled about and worried. The earth beneath their feet shook then, a tremendous rumble and roll, the largest grumble yet from Megara. So great a quake that Evenel looked to the mountaintop, expecting the volcano to explode. When it did not, the woman found herself focused on that place, the mountain, and on the events transpiring in Gontalgrim beneath it. Pray, stand strong, she told Quenthal. I have an inspiration. Tell, Quenthal said. Evenel shook her head. I will return shortly. Stand strong, hold this ground.